I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Faith Friday here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. Well, I'm recording this right now, not today, which is, for me, still in the future. But for you, is now your now. I'm doing this because right now, I'm actually at the Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas. So instead of trying to do something timely, because who knows what happens between now and when you're listening to this, my now, not your now. So I thought I'd spend a few minutes talking about something other than the horrible things that evangelicals and Catholics are doing, and other religious faiths. But those are kind of the two biggest offenders. But today, we're going outside of the United States and outside of the 21st century to talk about a man that many people revere to this day, Gandhi. And when I was younger, I did too. I very much liked the idea of pacifism and nonviolent resistance, but then I actually learned about who Gandhi really was, and my respect for him went out like an outdoor candle on a windy night. What I'll be talking about is adapted from my book, Passion, Artists and Their Nudes, which will be available on Amazon within the next couple of weeks, as soon as we can get it up. Maybe within a couple of days, maybe Monday, but not my Monday, your Monday. So you'll want to check it out. It's a massive book, over 1,200 pages, and acts as a catalog and reference for the 850 artists, I think it is, and 30,000-plus works of art in the Center C art collections, at least the ones that are available so far. We have more coming. These collections are art that has been cleaned up digitally, and I don't mean cleaned up in the way that we're covering up the naughty bits. I mean cleaned up in that we're taking out the scratches and defects and brightening the colors that have faded, stuff like that. We do have a collection of Indian art, and in the book there is a section on Indian artists and a little bit about India, which was one of the most sexually positive countries in the world. And then Western influence and, in no small part, the influence of Gandhi, they became one of the most sexually repressive and anti-women countries in the world. And the reason we blame Gandhi a lot is because his influence and his insane anti-woman ideas had a huge impact there in changing the way people in India thought about sexuality. And not for the better. So here I'm referring to my own research, which is in my book, and a new book called Great Soul, Mahatma Gandhi and His Struggle with India, by Joseph Lelyveld. He's a former editor of the New York Times and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. Highly respected, and pretty much take what he writes to the bank. I don't know what his sexual identity was. He died in 1948, which was really when we were just beginning to have discussions about sexual identity and still really didn't understand the whole thing. But I doubt that he was heterosexual. Having sexual intercourse with women made him physically ill. He left his wife to be with a wealthy German-Jewish bodybuilder and architect named Hermann Kallenbach. Now, we don't know if they had a homosexual relationship, or probably homoerotic. We only have this one line where Gandhi allegedly told Kallenbach, "How completely you have taken possession of my body. This is slavery with a vengeance." What we do know is that he could not stand heterosexual intercourse. Well, I think that there is a high probability that he was actually homosexual. He didn't like gay people much either, but that, at the time, would not be uncommon for someone who had homosexual impulses. You will learn in my book, and by looking at the Indian art that we have also available, that this was not as taboo in Indian history. Sexuality was revered, and homosexuality wasn't condemned in the same way that we think of it as today. In fact, there was a significant homoerotic tradition in the Indian temples, and you found this amazing erotic art in the Indian temples. This is the country that brought us the Kama Sutra, after all. So he was very strongly, publicly, anti-homosexual. And in the 1930s, he and Jawaharlal Nehru launched a sexual cleansing campaign to remove this kind of imagery from the temples. One could make the claim that he was pretty sex-phobic. Gandhi emphasized chastity, and he slept with naked girls to test his restraint. Well, that wasn't really tough for a man who found sex abhorrent, nauseating, or at least that's how he found sex with women. It is only now, many, many years later, we're starting to learn more and more about what he was actually like. They tried to make him into this perfect father figure. As it turns out, he did have a child. He had the sex to have a child, and that was it. He was done with sex with women. As it turns out, he was very abusive to his daughter. His wife was only 14 years old. And so the story goes that he left his father's sick bed to have sex with his wife. His father died, and he never forgave himself. Now, maybe that's part of it. It's a little confusing, because so much has been modified and cleaned up, so it's hard to get the exact true story. When he died, he was practically deified, and anything negative was suppressed. And his ideas about women were absurdly twisted. He taught that menstruation was a manifestation of the distortion of a woman's soul by her sexuality. And he was absolutely and completely unsympathetic to sexual assault on women. When two of his female followers were being sexually harassed, he cut off their hair so that they would be less appealing. He thought that was the right approach. And rape, in his view, was the woman's fault. They had to have done something to make a man want to rape them. And once they were raped, in his mind, they lost her humanity. And that is why India is now one of the rapiest countries in the world. I don't think there's any place that has more vicious, horrific rapes. And I think that, in no small part, is thanks to Gandhi's teachings and views about women and rape. He felt that when a woman was raped, the father should be allowed to murder his raped daughter to preserve the family and community honor. That's not really a man of peace, even though that's how he is perceived. It stunned me to learn that he supported honor killing. And women in India still kill themselves after being raped because of what he taught about how women should be shamed for being raped. He urged men not to have sex with their wives. He thought it would be better that men didn't marry at all, because if you failed to control your carnal urges, it led to constipation. As you know, India, still to this day, has an overpopulation crisis. And when India really needed contraception, he waged a personal war against it, stating that any woman who used contraception was a whore. And that 14-year-old wife, she did get older over time. He hated her. He had little respect for his wife at all. He called her a meek cow and stupid, said he couldn't stand to look at her. And he was directly responsible for her death. She contracted pneumonia. The doctor said, "Oh, don't worry. This can be easily cured with penicillin." But they cautioned that without the penicillin, she would certainly die. And he said, "No, I'm leaving this in God's hands." And, of course, she died. Now, this is not inconsistent. He was an anti-vaxxer and fought against the smallpox vaccine. And the section in my book goes into a lot more detail about some of the seriously sick and twisted ideas he had about sex and underage girls. And this is the last man on the planet you would want to influence people about sexuality, but yet he had tremendous influence. He was also a hardcore racist. He was completely in support of the caste system, which was absolutely awful and horrific, and he could not stand people of color at all. It is true that the civil rights movement in this country was largely influenced by Gandhi's pacifistic approach to rebellion, but he would have nothing to do with black people at all. Plus, he was a racial purist. He was an inspiration to Dr. King, but he would never have met with King. He wrote a gushing letter to Adolf Hitler. He was a big fan of Mussolini. Strongly believed in the importance of racial segregation. He said of black people that they were troublesome, very dirty, and live like animals. Now, this is not to say that he didn't do good in his life. He certainly did. But he was profoundly flawed and did almost as much evil as he did good. He helped make India a more secular society, even though that's now changing and they're becoming more controlled by Hindu nationalism, which is turning things very ugly. And this is one of the reasons that there are people who still so strongly defend him and deify him and support the cleansed history. Yes, Gandhi was an important influence on our civil rights movement, but I'm not so sure he would have supported it.